How do you explore history without images? Moroccan filmmaker Asma El Moudir found her way in The Mother of All Lies. I'm Tom Powers, and this is Pure Nonfiction. Asma El Moudir grew up in Casablanca in a home full of secrets. Her neighborhood was deeply affected by the Casablanca bread riots in 1981, before she was born. That citizen uprising over food prices was met with a military crackdown that killed hundreds and sent others to prison. Those events left behind a pervasive fear in her family. People held back from speaking freely. Asma was told, "The walls have ears." She digs into this history in The Mother of All Lies. You can watch the film's trailer linked in our show notes. As a first-time filmmaker, she had serious obstacles. She was working on scant resources and had almost no archival footage. But she made the best of it.
For me, I had a lot of obstacles. And thank God because I had these obstacles. Sometimes problems are good because they push you to find a very artistic solutions. For me, as a person who likes to work with objects, with ingredients, to make my tagine with my ingredients, like I love discover things with my hand and put my head in things.
Asma's father also likes to work with his hands. He has a job as a mason building houses. For Asma, he built a replica of their street the scale of a doll's house. He created clay figurines to represent their family members and neighbors. Asma could film these dolls to recreate the past. She was still faced with her family's deep reluctance to open up at home, so for the filming, she moved them to an atelier in Marrakesh. She set up her father's scale model of their neighborhood and invited her family and neighbors into the space she calls her laboratory. A key persona in the film is Asma's grandmother, Zara, who survived a lifetime of struggle by becoming fierce. She may be hunched over, but she doesn't hold back swinging her cane if anyone stands up to her. Asma had to deal with the fact that her grandmother strongly objects to being filmed or photographed. The Mother of All Lies made its premiere last year at the Cannes Film Festival in the section Uncertain Regard, where it won the directing prize. The film had a prestigious run of festivals, including Toronto, Sundance, and many others. It won a prize at the Marrakesh Festival and was Morocco's official submission to the Oscars. It was also nominated for the Producers Guild and Independent Spirit Awards. Last week, I recorded this conversation with Asma in front of a live audience at CPH Docs in Copenhagen. In her film, she begins with the fact that she has no photographs of herself as a girl. The family had just one, but Asma is deeply skeptical about it. I asked how that became the starting point for her film.
I was sure that I was not me in this picture because I understood that my grandmother forbidden the pictures in the house because of the human representation in Islam, which was for her haram. So for me, I just grew up without a picture. And then this day, I took that picture and that was the starting point to again ask the question, why we have no souvenir in the family? And then I started developing my project because I love documentary. I was like, when I wake up each day, I said, okay, I should to make this story. I have to make this story because it's something that it's in my shoulder. I cannot move to another thing without telling first this story about pictures, about memory, about why there is memory. And then in 2016, while I was watching a TV, I discovered that a new cemetery will be inaugurated not far from home. And at that moment, I start to ask the same question. Where is the pictures about what happened outside? And I start, this is the really, really, in the first day I decided to talk about both the intimate story and the national story. And I understood that my little family stories were only symptom of other bigger ones.
During the 1981 bread riots, hundreds of bodies were buried in a nearby cemetery.
I'm not looking for guilty people or denouncing anyone, but I was just trying to understand how we invent stories when we don't have any concrete or visual proofs of what has happened. And that was my idea to create an interaction with my family and to show this mechanism of lies that grew up in the house, but not only in the house, in the whole country. And the problem, how I can tell all this trauma and all this, this is not taboo, but it's still something that I am afraid to talk about it, because I will grow up watching everybody in the house afraid to talk about the past in general. So I should to find a dispositive filmic to protect them and to also to tell this story without looking for guilty people.
What did it take to get your family to agree to participate?
Yeah, that was a very big journey. This is the film, I think, because the process is a part of the film. My grandmother was very hard to convince. My father was my accomplice, my mother too. My neighbors wanted to talk. It was really traumatic for everyone. That's why, as a filmmaker, I was looking for not only showing the trauma, but laughing a little bit also about our problems. So that's why I was like, I think that my grandmother, to convince her was the very, very difficult. How I can convince somebody who don't like pictures, who forbid pictures, to come in my film for 10 years of shooting. So I remember I came with my camera the first day. She broke my camera, my first camera. And she put me outside.
It looks pretty fierce with that cane.
Yeah. And I was like waiting for 1 week to come back just to sleep in my house. So I think that was very, very hard. And I decided to remove the camera because the camera was scared everybody, even if my father. Everybody start to act. Okay, I said, okay, there's no camera. Why you are acting now? We talk like that without camera? They said, no. Okay, let's just talk. Okay, I removed the camera and I put microphones. And I start to take sound for 2 years. And to listen to them at 3 a.m., 4 a.m., very, very boring conversation, just to understand why camera scare these people. Because it's something that I was trying. It's a laboratory. It's not just a film to make it or to go to festivals. No, it's a necessity to tell this story. So for me, it's gonna took a lot of time, I know. That's why I was not in the industry of cinema. I have no timeline. That's why all my co-producer went in the development, because they said, okay, what is your timeline? Can you give me the film in 6 months? No. There is a TV channel, they want the film, but they want this film in 1 year. I have no film in 1 year, I have no. And that's why the idea of creating figurine miniature, because I'm not in the industry. I'm making this film like a savage way. And convincing my grandmother, I remember, to move her from the house to the laboratory, from Casablanca to Marrakesh, where I built this laboratory with my father and the team. I call this my own archive. For 7 years, I was making my own archive, because I start with one picture. I find myself with 500 hours of rushes at the end. So in these 7 years, it was okay because it's the house. But when I decided to bring everybody to this laboratory in Marrakesh, this is the problem. So I bring three Moroccan actresses. I just like come with three actresses. I said, okay, my grandmother, can you choose one? She said, why? I said, she will be you in my film. Okay, she didn't say anything. And after 2 hours, she called me. She said, do you mean this ugly woman will be me in your film? I said, yes, I'm so sorry. She's not ugly, but she will be you. And she said, okay, but this is my story. I said, okay, come and tell your story. This is your story, so come and tell it. And then she said, okay, I will come, but I will not guarantee for you to stay. And when she came, she really, really made a lot of problems behind the scenes. She destroyed, she's the dictator, the director. She made a lot of problems for everybody.
Let me ask about your father, who created all these figurines, and of all your family members who have different feelings about being in this film, he seems to be the one who's the most generous towards you, trying to help you tell this story.
Yeah, I remember I was making a lot of dossier, lots of papers to ask to shoot in the cemetery, in the soccer field, in, but maybe because of the subject, nobody gave me an answer. I had only one permit to shoot. It's the general one from the Moroccan Cinematography Center, but the other ones, the specific ones, nobody gave me answer. So I come back one day very, very upset, and they said, my father, you build a lot of houses in the street, because he's a Mason, and you have this kind of atelier that you always fabric things there, and nobody knows what you are doing. People think that you are Mason, but I believe that you are an artist, so because I know my father creates the liege, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So I tell him, okay, can you help me to find something, to do something for this, for telling this story? And he gave me the idea. He said, you remember when you was a child, you and your sister and brothers, I built for you some books, but big ones in carton, in you know, in paper, just to you can go inside and play, because in Morocco the summer is very hot and we cannot play outside. So we come back to this idea, to how we, if the doors are closed and nobody gives us the permit to go to film the cemetery, how if we bring the sets to us and not going looking for closed doors. And that was the idea. So if somebody is missing in this story, the figurine will continue the story, because we present the miniature in the beginning. So even if me I'm missing, there is my figurine who can she can continue the story if I'm not here. So I wanted only to tell this story in all case. I mean.
Yeah. What did it mean to be telling this story in Morocco? I mean, you said that you would just get a non-answer when you wanted to film in certain places, and you know, how much was it difficult to, you know, to be asking questions about this this history?
Yeah, I think in some countries there is a direct censorship. I will do for you that. But in some countries like mine, there is no direct censorship, but you find yourself making your auto censorship because you are afraid of something that coming from the sky or from the walls.
Yeah.
But you are afraid because your
walls have ears.
Yeah, have ears, and also your generation, your both generation, your grandmother and your parents, which are different generation, they are afraid and they are not talking about things. And sometimes, just like it was, okay, you are coming from the 70s, bubble of 70s, and my parents are silent also, so who gonna give me this courage and energy to talk today? And that was the idea, to bring all these people from their houses where walls have ears, and to build a new walls without ears, and to tell them, okay, come follow me, we will build this wall, we will talk freely about the past, and we will destroy everything, and then walls have gonna not have ears, and maybe it's gonna be the therapy of somebody of us. I don't like to talk about therapy in cinema, because in cinema we don't cure anyone. We just provoke, and that's what I did in this film. I just provoke things. I asked a question that I was sure that it's gonna make people not comfortable, but I did it for my grandmother, for my parents, but I was really respecting the culture, because in our culture we respect the grandmother, we respect the parents. I was very sure that I will not present them in a bad way, and there is so much love also in the film, and we can laugh also in this film. So that was my idea, how to free these people from this past. My characters was afraid, really, really afraid, because they watched people dying in front of themselves, their eyes. But I was not there. I'm not afraid. I'm the new generation. I believe that Morocco today is changing. I believe that there is some reconciliation with this past, and there is no taboo today about what happened. And I think hiding things, that means there is a problem. And what I did, I just show things and to say, okay, we have something happened very bad, but now today we are able to tell, okay, we are here, a new generation, and we are here to not repeat the same thing. And I was very happy that Morocco accept the film, no censorship, and the film was released in Morocco. The people was very receptive of this film, And I remember Marrakesh Film Festival was like full house with the 1,000, I mean, a lot of people coming, crying, and identify themselves in my grandmother, and also in this day, in this really, really, the Bridge Riot was very traumatic day. And that's why I didn't give the name of this neighborhood, because I wanted that everybody was in Casablanca on around, identify themselves in this film. And that's what's happened in Morocco. Documentary is very, it's very good way to change mind to the people, because image scare when we are afraid to tell things. But I mean, today we can also tell, keep the real fact, but change the way how to tell them.
Can you talk about, you bring your family and your neighbors to this place you call the laboratory in Marrakesh to build this model and to provoke them, as you say. How many days were you in that space?
Yeah, when I decided to build this laboratory, I have a team as a, but I was, I mean, 2 months of, 8 months of construction of the miniature, 2 months of lighting.
Wow.
And 1 month of just...
So 2 months you had access to that space to light...
It was COVID, so I had I was like a Super Mario going looking for money here and there, because I am the producer, editor, filmmaker. It's bad to say that, but I was everything.
So you should be proud of all those things.
No, I will not repeat this because it's exhausting. But I had no choice because nobody understand my idea.
And how many days were the family and neighbors in this space undergoing your provocation?
2 months.
2 months?
No, not in the space, because we have the apartment just in the same place.
Yeah.
We go to sleep and we come back each day, so 2 months, yeah.
2 months of having those people talking and...
Yeah, because it was a lot of garbage in the beginning. It was three weeks of garbage for me.
Yeah.
People coming, everybody wants to play, you know? They become actors, actresses, and they just play themselves, and I lost control of everything. Wow. I lost control of everything. I'm not director, I'm just like wondering if it was a good idea to bring everybody here to do all this job for lots of months.
That's a long time. 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It's a long time to feel like
was garbage.
This is not working.
Yeah, not working. Because, yeah, I remember my grandmother was telling Said how to tell the story, you know? She was the director. She just stop everybody and go, okay, Said, you didn't do well. You should tell like this. And I remember one day my grandmother discovered the sound designer behind the... And I said, it's a thief. I mean, she was thinking that he's a criminal coming in the... I'm just watching. And then my DOP, I said, I have pictures. One day I will come back to my 500 hour of rushes and make my making of... Because I remember I was like crying. I'm like, oh my God, I'm just lost in money that I don't have. And I was sure if I have a producer, he will throw everybody outside. I said, okay, no, go, there's no film. But yeah, because I am the producer, I was waiting for them just to be, to accept the new set. The editing process was another story. Two and a half years. I was trying to find the beginning and the end, because for me the film is the editing and this is the rhythm, you know. When you find your starting, your opening sequence, and it's like a fiction. What we do in documentary, we try to look like a fiction, and what we do in fiction, we try to look like a documentary, so you know, reality. So that was a very big process, large process, and I don't regret anything, but I'm just tired.
At one point in the film, Osme brings in an artist to make a drawing of her grandmother. The artist uses black paint on a large pane of clear glass. When he's finished, the grandmother raises up her cane and shatters the glass. You can glimpse the moment in the film's trailer. I asked Osme to explain what happened.
Okay, I just called this painter, and he told me, how do you want me to to draw your grandmother. I said, she's a dictator. Draw her as you want, but she's a big dictator, and be careful. That was my conversation, and I went out from the atelier. And then my DOP was with her, and I came back later. They start to paint her, and it was like a pharaoh from Egypt. Before, she said, and how if I don't even like this? I said, yeah, like when you tell someone, if you don't like this juice, you can throw it. I said, if you don't like this picture, you can broke it. You know, it was an expression for me, but she did it for real, you know. When she didn't like it, her picture, but I was afraid because my father and my mother was really near, and then it was very hard to throw this.
So you did not expect that she was going
to
do that.
No, but when she did it, I was hiding myself because I was afraid. I know she will look for me and she can hit, you know. She's very hard, I know. But we respect, this is our culture. We respect them even if they are hard because they said, we are hard to protect you, you know.
Okay. It's a lot of protection.
It's a love. For them, it's a violence. Love, it's equal violence.
There's a bit we see in the trailer where your grandmother is arguing with you over whether you're a journalist or a filmmaker. She says, you're a journalist, and you say, I'm a filmmaker. Can you describe what those, you know, words mean?
I was telling her that a filmmaker is different because we don't judge imagination first, and also it's not the same thing. I mean, a journalist I respect as a job, but I'm not a journalist, you know? And for her, having a journalist in the family, having like having a chief of police, it's like having something good in the family.
She respects journalism.
Yeah, respectful. And having a filmmaker for her, it's a bad virtue, cigarettes, alcohol, parties, etc. And yeah, for her the whole life, she telling people in the family in Casablanca that my little daughter is a journalist. And I was very upset because I did a lot of studies to make films, to be a filmmaker. And that was some of interaction that I wanted to ask also in this film and to push my grandmother to accept having a filmmaker in the family. It's not about the virtue. We can also go having good things. And she understand when I got the prize of the Maison Saint in Cannes Film Festival, I told her, my grandmother, I'm not a journalist, I'm a filmmaker. I have a diploma from Cannes now. And she said, she wasn't okay. But in Marrakesh, when we got this prize, the Golden Star for the first time after 20 years, all the Moroccan, cinephile was very happy for this prize the first time. And then people come to her and talk to her in her own language to tell, wow, that was good, what you did, etc. And then she accept and she admit that I'm not a journalist and I'm a filmmaker.
You finally won that argument.
I want to thank Asma El Moudir for speaking with me. Her film, The Mother of All Lies, hasn't yet secured distribution in the United States, but it continues to play at film festivals. Thanks to the team at CPH Docs in Copenhagen for hosting this conversation. Thanks to our listeners. Shoutouts to Julie McElmurray, who came to CPH, and to Vivian Kleiman, who recently wrote us a nice note. Our email is listen@purenonfiction.net. Please drop us a line. Thanks to our team. Series producer Hannah Nordenswan, newsletter manager Bella Racklin, and web designer Cross Strategy. Our theme music is composed by Andre Williams, and our executive producer is Rafaela Nehausen. I'm Tom Powers. Follow us on Instagram and sign up for our newsletter at purenonfiction.net.